So there are some different styles of cultivating awareness, even within techniques of this Vipassana practice, insight practice, or Buddhist practice. Some of them are emphasizing more sticking with one object, so focusing attention on the breath, or keeping it more with one of the fields of the senses in order to develop greater stability. And then in this way we've been practicing, hopefully to develop some stability of attention, but then actually open up to be able to see whatever is happening in all the different sense fields. So bringing awareness to whatever is arising as an object in our human experience. And then hopefully in this way it will be more versatile. So when you go to your regular life also, then you've practiced bringing awareness to whatever it is that's going on in some way. Now, one of the things people say sometimes in doing this sort of more open practice is that it can feel overwhelming or somewhat chaotic. And then they want to go back to a more focused practice, cultivating greater calm and concentration with one object. So if you have experienced a certain amount of chaos, it seems like, in the way that experience is unfolding, that is actually accurate. So you are accurately perceiving the experience of the untrained human experience, the human mind, you could say. So the Buddha actually talks about this in one sutta. He uses a lot of metaphors from nature. And in this one he says that each of the different senses is like an animal, a different animal. And it's like each animal is trying to pull to go to its own area, like its own home base. So it's like if a person catches six animals from six different habitats and then binds them together with a strong rope. So now you have six different animals on like leashes tied together. So somehow you catch these different animals. A snake, a crocodile, a bird, a dog, a hyena, and a monkey. So this is the six different senses in some way. So then you've got each of them on a rope and then you tie all the ropes together. So now each of them is like not happy about this situation and wants to go to his own place, right? So then the snake wants to go into the ground, into its hole, so it pulls that way. And then the bird wants to go to the air and fly, so it pulls that way, or to the trees. The dog wants to go to its house, goes there. The monkey wants to go into the forest, so he's trying to scamper there. Crocodile wants to go to the water. And then the hyena in this metaphor wants to go to the in this metaphor, the burial ground, like the place where the bones are and stuff like that. So this metaphor is like, you know, each of the senses sort of seeking the pleasure. Like it wants pleasure in each of these different areas. And it's actually exhausting, you know, the way that usually the experience is in some ways. Like sometimes in sitting meditation, it settles down. Sometimes people experience this more in just walking around. It's like, oh, there's getting pulled to a sight and then getting pulled to a sound and then getting pulled to a body sensation and then getting pulled to this and this. And there's actually no rest within this endless wandering between these sense fields, you know. And oftentimes it's being pulled to a very pleasant or sometimes a very unpleasant sensation as it arises in these different fields, right? So it's much like the chaos of all these animals, you know, the six senses like tied together, these animals tied together and each trying to go to the jungle, to the water, to the ground, to the sky, right? All of this stuff. So this is saying that this is the case for the practitioner without restraint. But then as we develop some mindfulness and restraint, then it's almost like the animals get tired out with this chase. And so then there's less pulling and pushing like that in each of the senses, you know. So then there can be some measure of more restfulness, and we're not as much like ruled by chasing experience in this sector, in this sector, in this sector, right? And this is what is meant also in the description that I gave of dukkha. The last one was like a little cryptic phrase of the five clinging aggregates. So this is that, there's clinging, you know, that is there, latent or activated, you know, in the mind a lot of the time. So once we kind of tune in, and particularly once we sort of are not necessarily oriented towards entertaining it all the time, it becomes more apparent that, like, this is the way the operation is of the senses or the untrained mind. So this is actually what we're observing. You know, as we observe the relationship to any experience or any object, in some ways that noticing of kilesa or that pulling or pushing of the mind is like feeling the crocodile pull to the water, or the bird fly to the air, the monkey pull to the jungle, you know, like these different directions like that. And it's inherently unsatisfying. You know, it's actually like not a very satisfying way to live. So as we develop a stability then of attention, and really the most sustainable way is as we develop wisdom, you know, as wisdom gets cultivated, basically as we get sick of the struggle a little bit, or a lot, then there can be more peace. You know, there can be more recognition of, there's no need to be like pulled all the time like that. Or one of my teachers would describe, it's almost like there's a, like consciousness is like a different metaphor. Consciousness like a spider in the middle of a spider web, and it will go up through the different senses to gobble up sense experiences. So this sector is going to be like sights, pleasant sights and sounds and tastes and touches, and like this, you know. So it's constantly like moving like this. So if you are observing something like that, like something that feels like wobbly or off balance or chaotic, feel the unsatisfying quality of that. You know, actually feel the dukkha of this habitual pattern of relating that happens. And it's not wrong that you're noticing that. Like, it's actually more that we usually don't notice that there's anything at all that's not at ease in the way that we relate to life or relate to circumstance. And then you can notice also, conversely, what it's like when we're not relating like that. You know, when each experience is just allowed to come and go without there being any grasping in it. Yeah. So be aware of what it's like when the mind is free of this pulling, pushing in the different senses too. So sometimes it can help in this exploration to start to isolate in some ways the experience of each sense door. And in walking practice is a good time that you can play with this a little bit. So you could be just very open and just notice whatever there is to be noticed. But if you want, you could sort of intentionally primarily feel, okay, what's the experience of the body? You know, walk for a little bit like that. Then primarily, what's the experience of hearing? Then primarily, what's the experience of seeing? And then, you know, back to the body. If there's something in the other one, smelling and tasting, you could play with that also. And then furthermore, you could play with the knowing aspect. So there's the experience of the physical movement, the physical body, and then there's the knowing of it. And they're so connected. They're totally connected. So it's just like slight shift of knowing. Or there's the experience of seeing, and then there's the knowing of seeing. And this one, you know, even now, if you have your eyes open, you can do. Like, so there's seeing, and then if I ask you, like, oh, are you aware of seeing? Like, you don't even have to open your eyes like I did like that. You can just tell, like, suddenly, like, oh, there's awareness there. So kind of resting in that awareness aspect of it. Or with hearing, there's the sound and then there's the knowing of the sound. Right? So are we aware? Is there awareness there and the knowing of it? So in this way we can play with, you know, understanding how this human life gets constructed in some way. How this experience of what we perceive to be reality gets constructed. And for example, in the walking experience of walking or movement, we have an experience of space, but it really is constructed based on a physical experience that we identify with, a visual experience that we identify with, and then sometimes an experience of hearing that we also identify with. And when you put them all together, it feels like there's something called space. In actuality, it's kind of this overlay of these three sense experiences happening rapidly together. So you might have tried sometimes these like virtual reality goggles they put on, you know, and then you put them on and you're not actually moving, but they have an experience of sound, experience of sight. And then interestingly, you don't have the experience of the body, in the same way, but for example, one that I looked at was like, it made it look like you were floating. So you had the visual effect like you're floating. And then they made the sounds feel like you're floating. And then suddenly you start to feel in the body, right? Like it's floating. But really it's actually in the mind. So there's a way in which like this is always happening to us. We just don't know. Like we have the goggles like this, you know. We don't know it's ever possible to shift that. So as we can, you know, in some ways like deconstruct or see through some of this, it will not make you like not functional, you know. It'll come all back together again. You'll be able to walk and everything like that. But somehow it'll give you like a little bit of space between believing everything in the same way that you did before, you know. And then when we don't believe everything in that same way, then we don't have to get, you know, pushed and pulled by everything. So there's a possibility of being more at peace. So finding that, yeah, some kind of resting rather than getting pulled into the dynamic of the crocodile and the hyena and the monkey and the bird and all of that. So share these words of the Buddha with you for your exploration. So like all the Dhamma teachings, it's for you to check out. You don't have to believe them. And see if it chimes with your experience. Sometimes if it doesn't, you could just hold it like, okay, yeah, not sure. Put it on the shelf for a while. You know, if you don't relate to it, that's totally fine, you know. You don't need to fight with it in your mind too, you know. Or don't think too much about hyenas and what they do, or monkeys, and like if you don't know those animals, like. But yeah, mostly just getting curious about the experience of what it's like to be a human, you know, in this way, and how these senses, as they unfold, and as we seemingly inhabit a body and seemingly inhabit a world, you know, that actually there's no real center in the way that we might think there is. It's all constructed in some way. So then the result of seeing through that is not that it's scary, actually, but there's a lot of freedom. You know, there's a lot of freedom and more rest from the exhausting pursuit in samsara, you could say. So you'll have tastes of this, I'm sure. You already do. You probably already know this a little bit, even if the particular metaphors I used don't work for you, or that the Buddha used. You know, like, yeah, maybe something about this in your experience resonates, but yeah, using your awareness, you can explore and see. And we're fortunate we have several days more for this exploration, this playground of awareness and the mind, the body, what we call the world. So yeah, we can just sit with this for a little bit, or if you like, sit without it too.